And he spent months evaluating the college players who were drafted back in April. And we're going through the non-divisional opponents for the Titans on the schedule. Started that last week. We continue that this week. Greg, how are you?
Jonathan, I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Let's dive right in. Let's start with Cincinnati next up on the Titans schedule. You spent time over the last few months with us emphasizing Joe Burrow's poise, his awareness, his vision, the moxie for the position. And every rookie quarterback, especially ones drafted by rebuilding teams, take their lumps. He has some O-line issues for year one, but he joins a Bengals offense with some talented, skilled players. So what do you think about this pairing of Burrow and Taylor as the head coach and the excitement that surrounds that duo?
I think it's a good pairing. Zach Taylor's a young coach. He has experience with a Sean McVay-type offense, which is timing and rhythm-based. Burrow can certainly play that way, and Burrow does have excellent movement skills. There are, you know, few college quarterbacks that I've seen in recent years that can navigate within the pocket and slide the way Burrow can. This is a team that has a lot of offensive weapons. I would argue that Joe Mixon is a top three back in the league in terms of his running ability and his pass receiving ability. And when you combine Mixon with a Gio Bernard, I think they have a really good duo in the backfield. Much depends on A.J. Green, Jonathan, I think. If A.J. Green is back being A.J. Green, then he's really a big-time number one type. They drafted T. Higgins, and I like T. Higgins. I mean, they've got big receivers, and I think a lot of teams are trying to move in that direction now. And, you know, Higgins is that's exactly what he is. He's got a wide catching radius. I wasn't that alarmed by his 40 time. I know a lot of people get all worked up by that kind of stuff. To me, that was not really a big issue. I look back when I saw Higgins run a 4.58 at his pro day. I look back at DeAndre Hopkins' 40 time and Michael Thomas's 40 time, and they were about the same. So, you know, I think that Higgins is a really good prospect. They still have John Ross. Tyler Boyd's an outstanding slot. And I thought Auden Tate really showed well the last 5 or 6 weeks last year as a big physical wideout. So this is a team with a lot of offensive weapons. And Burrow will step right in as the starter, and I expect him to do well.
I know you say you like T. Higgins. Do you see him as the model X receiver to replace A.J. Green?
I think he can do that as time goes on. I think he'll probably need a little work. I think you can line him up all over, which is what he did in college as well. But I think he could work to being a big X as time goes on. His play speed is faster than his time speed. He has excellent hands. He can make tough catches. He can work the middle of the field well. So, yes, I think Higgins has a good future ahead of him. I think he's a really good prospect.
And just wrapping up our discussion on their draft class, linebacker Logan Wilson stood out to me out of Wyoming. He seems to be built for that Mike or Sam backer position. He was very productive in college. What did you notice from him?
Yeah, I liked him a lot. I think that he's a really good athlete. I think this was a position they really needed to upgrade. They were very poor at linebacker a year ago, and it really hurt them. You know, linebacker is a position that a lot of people automatically say isn't that important in the NFL until you don't have one. And then all of a sudden it's important. So I think they really needed to upgrade. And it wouldn't surprise me if he's a week one starter, even with no off season, but he's a very athletic kid. And I think you might see him on the field for all three downs right from the start. They still have some pretty good talent on that D line. And they signed DJ Reader, who played at Houston. You guys are familiar with him being in the same division as the Texans. And I thought he was a really overlooked player by the media. People knew about him who watched tape. But I think DJ Reader is a really solid interior defender.
Greg Cosell of NFL Films with us as we take a look at the non-divisional opponents on the Titans' schedule and their draft upgrades.
We move to Chicago. Chicago is addicted to tight ends. And they remained addicted to tight ends with their first round pick, Cole Kmet. What is it about this guy that might be different than their stable?
Well, I think PK, to me, Komet's kind of the more old school tight end. I think he's kind of a traditional, conventional tight end. I don't think that he's a great athlete. I think he's, you can play him in line. I think he's a solid blocker. I think he'll work the short to intermediate areas as a receiver. He's one of those execution-efficient players. He blocked well in the run game, although I think he needs to be a little more physical. And as I said, he can work the short to intermediate levels in the pass game with his big body and really good hands. By NFL standards, Kmet's not one of those higher-level tight end athletes. You know, he's not a Kittle, he's not a Kelce, he's not that guy. He's a. I think they view Jimmy Graham as still being able to fill that role, and Kmet as being the guy that sort of is a little more conventional and traditional. You know, I think if Kmet could turn out to be a Heath Miller-type player, if you remember him with the Steelers, I think they'd be thrilled.
And if he's that type player, that means Jimmy Graham doesn't have to line up close to the line of scrimmage. They can move him around more, which I don't think they did as much as what many expected them to do last year.
No, and the thing about Graham is, because he hasn't put up numbers since the Saints, people like to rip him, but if you watch the tape, he still moves very well. He didn't catch a ton of balls last year in Green Bay. The one thing he cannot do, and I don't believe he'll be asked to do, is inline block, run block. That, he can't do that. He doesn't do that. I think that's why they drafted Cole Kmet. So Graham will become more of a detached split movement player, and that's what he is. You know, and again, that's what Matt Nagy will use him. They've got, I think Allen Robinson is a really, really good wideout. He's a pure X, and he's really good. He's not talked about a lot, but I think he's a really good receiver.
Jalen Johnson, their second rounder, cornerback we talked about as a Titans possibility. How's he fit what Chuck Pagano wants to do in the secondary there?
Well, Johnson is, I think, just a really good prospect. I think he can play man or zone. We'll see whether he steps right in as a starter. They made an interesting free agent pickup in Artie Burns, who was a first-round pick from Pittsburgh a number of years ago and always looked the part. Even when you watched him coming out of the U, you just looked at Artie Burns and said, wow, that guy is an NFL corner. And I can't tell you why it didn't work out, but it didn't work out at all in Pittsburgh. Another guy who I think will be in competition at that corner spot opposite Kyle Fuller will be Kevin Tolliver, a big athletic kid from LSU who's going into, I guess, his third year. And when he's gotten a chance to play, he's performed pretty well. So that corner spot will be interesting opposite Fuller. So we'll see how that plays out.
Coming up with Greg Cosell, we'll discuss the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns, starting with the Ravens and J.K. Dobbins and Patrick Queen. Midday 180 with Greg Cosell. We're queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Ravens are the only team in the league that features the offense with a quarterback as a runner, and as you would phrase it, not as a ball distributor. And now they've added J.K. Dobbins to the offense to continue those run conflicts with Jackson and Mark Ingram. That should be another layer that Greg Roman can add.
Oh, I think it's a great fit for Dobbins, because to me, he's kind of a no-nonsense, efficient downhill runner. He runs hard. He competes. I don't necessarily think he's super quick laterally, but he has enough to make an unblocked defender miss when he gets to the second and third level. And I think in that style of offense, where the defense is under such stress and pressure and conflict on a consistent basis, I think this is a perfect landing spot for him. I think they would see him as getting some snaps this year, but taking over for a Mark Ingram as he gets older and he's no longer there, I think it's a really perfect landing spot for J.K. Dobbins.
Patrick Queen fits the formula for what we're seeing across the league at the linebacker, that run and chase stacked backer. The Ravens have addressed linebacker this offseason, and they have to feel like they're getting a player on the rise, because Patrick Queen was improving as last season progressed with LSU.
Well, I think they addressed that position they felt they needed with Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison from Ohio State in the third round. You know, you hit it right on the head with Queen. I don't think he's quite, let's say, as explosive as someone like Roquan Smith when Smith came out of Georgia, but I think Queen's NFL profile will be very much the same. He's a run-and-chase player. He didn't play downhill really well, but I think that you feel that here's a guy that's very, very athletic. I he'll probably end up being a full-time starter right away, although my sense is he'd fit better being a sub-package player to start his career, but he's an athletic kid. Malik Harrison, on the other hand, I think he'll be a starter as well, and he's a big kid who can play in the middle of your defense and be somewhat of a thumper, as well as a pretty athletic kid.
And as you've pointed out, that's a defense that has the luxury of playing with the top offense in the league, and that means that they have the luxury of developing a player like Patrick Queen from the first round.
Without question. And, you know, they'll score points on offense. Queen might be in a situation where he can play 70-75% of the snaps as a rookie. They'll be in sub quite a bit.
Meanwhile, in Cleveland, where they signed Jack Conklin, very much a right tackle, as we've discussed for years, in Nashville, they drafted Dredrick Wills out of Alabama, who was a right tackle in Alabama. Clearly, they feel like he's going to be a left tackle for the Browns. How do you feel about that transition?
Oh, I think he can do that without a problem. I don't fancy myself as an O-line expert the way some are, but to me, Wills was the best tackle prospect in this draft. He's certainly athletic enough to play left tackle. I don't think there's that big a delineation anymore between the two positions, the right tackle and left tackle, but Wills is a high-level athlete. He's got quick, light feet. He's got quick, active hands. He strikes with pop and force. He's highly competitive. He finishes. I think he can be a very, very good NFL left tackle. This is not a bad offensive line now. I think Jack Conklin will fit what they do. And by the way, I believe Bill Callahan is the O-line coach, if memory serves me correctly. And Bill is one of the best in the business, and he will love working with Jack Conklin. Because, you know, we've talked about Conklin a lot over the years, and while I think there are some limitations to his game, no one would question Conklin's character, toughness, mentality as a player. And I think that Callahan will work on some of those deficiencies, and Conklin will be a very good player in that offense.
Meanwhile, their second pick, Grant Delpit, as a safety, comes in with a reputation of having missed too many tackles in college. Do you see that as something that is going to be a problem in the league, something that can be fixed in the league, something that where do you come down on that? How much of an issue is he going to have?
Well, I think it's a fair point and a fixable point. He did not miss as many tackles his prior season. I watched some of that tape as well. I think that you're dealing with a guy that can play in multiple spots. He played as a post safety quite a bit at LSU. He's long, athletic. He's rangy without being purely explosive, but his length allows him to be rangy. I like Delpit as a player. There's no question he missed some tackles. I thought he took some bad angles in the run game as a post safety. I think these things can be cleaned up. Now, will they be cleaned up? No one can answer that. I think they can be. But I think when you look at the physical traits, the length, he's got kind of stalking movement to him. I think he's a really intriguing prospect.
Up front on the defensive line, they had Jordan Elliott from Missouri. Is he a three technique for them? I know he's going to provide some depth behind Sheldon Richardson.
I think they see him that way. Richardson at his best is a really good three technique. So I don't know if Elliott's going to play that much this year. They also signed Andrew Billings, who's a really solid inside player. He's more of a one technique nose shade. But, you know, I think that they've got pretty good depth on that D-line. Adrian Claiborne is there now. So, you know, I think the big question is going to be a linebacker. I thought Mac Wilson out of Alabama, who pretty much played every snap a year ago because they were a sub-nickel defense, not a dime defense. He becomes a really important player because they lost Schobert. So their other two linebackers, when they're in base, are sort of unknowns. I believe Taki Taki was there a year ago, but Phillips, he's a rookie. So we'll see. So linebacker is a question mark for them right now.
And big picture for the Browns offense, Greg, Kevin Stefanski now there, he's going to bring a lot of 12 personnel to that Browns offense, I believe. I'll let you clarify. And that is a defined system, and that should help Baker Mayfield out quite a bit.
Yeah, I think it's going to help a lot. I think what a lot of people lose sight of is when Mayfield was at Oklahoma that final year, which got him to be the number one pick, that was a very defined system, and he played within structure extremely well. I think people have the impression of Mayfield as being a movement guy, a runaround guy. He plays within structure really well, and I think this is an offense under Stefanski that will start with the run game. Nick Chubb is a really good back, and they still have Kareem Hunt as well, another very good back. They can line up with multiple tight ends. I mean, they've got Hooper, who they signed, really good player, and Njoku's still there. They drafted Harrison Bryan, who I thought his tape out of Florida Atlantic was very, very good. I think he's a really intriguing prospect. They've got a solid O-line. So I think this will be an offense that starts with a run, and it will fit Baker Mayfield. And I think, by the way, having Case Keenum in the quarterback room will be very helpful as well.
Greg Cosell with us each Wednesday. Greg, what book did you read over the last week?
I've read 23 books. I've been going crazy. I should have made a list because I've just been going nuts. I've been trying to find new authors and then also read some of my favorites. So I'm reading a book now called The Sound of Rain by Greg Olson. I really like it. It has a female protagonist. I read a book called November Road, which I thought was a fascinating book by a guy named Lou Burney. And then I found an author named Rick Reed, who has a character named Jack Murphy. I think there are 9 books. I've read 2, but I also just have the 3rd one that I got from Amazon. So I've been grinding away, Jonathan. I've been reading quite a bit.
We'll get Greg's take and film evaluation and then book reviews each Wednesday here on the Midday 180. Greg, thank you as always. We'll catch up soon.
All right, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Follow Greg on Twitter at Greg Cosell. Reed, what link did you just send us during this segment? I only read the headline, but the headline is crazy.
Yes, an NFL player is suing United Airlines for sexual harassment.
Okay. Well, we'll dive into this. The details that you sent 2 bullet point details, and one includes grabbing below the waist. So we'll see if it's illegal hands below the waist. Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
If you're in-